Hendrix. How's it going?
Hey, hey, hey. It's Two Guys, One Radio Show once again. Coming back after fall break.
Yes, we were both absent from Conway last Saturday, but we are here today. Got some exciting music for you today.
Very exciting. The most exciting thing that we can do is play music for you this weekend.
So, yes.
Barrett, what's our first song?
Our first song is in honor of Hendrix's win over UChicago today. It's I Just Want to Celebrate by Rare Earth.
Here comes another one. It's Lonely as the Night.
Yeah.
That was Billy Squire, Lonely is the Night.
It's a good song.
It is. I had it in my head last week and we just didn't get to it, so I thought I'd keep it in the playlist.
What else has Billy Squire done?
He has some other stuff. Not coming to my head, but he has some other stuff.
Okay, cool.
Let's see what the internet tells me. It's generally my friend.
So we actually have a guest in the booth with us today. My good friend Josie is here. She's also a rock and roll fan.
Okay. Apparently.
Yeah. She's here. She's probably not going to talk much.
I don't have much to say, but...
She's fun.
I am fun. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Barrett, do we have more music? Do you want to talk about the Hate Carrot?
I have more music I can play for you.
Okay. Sure.
So I have lots of music on track for you. What's a good follow-up for that? What's a good...
Yeah. Something a little bit groovier. Something a little bit more low-key.
Low-key.
Yeah. Kind of a power ballad, kind of.
All right. Well, so I have have a song that I think fits that.
Yeah.
That you're not going to like, okay. But I'm going to like it.
Well, that's fine.
It's Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City by Whitesnake.
Oh, Lord. You were right. Just play it. Just do it. Just do it.
Since you've been around.
right, all right.
See, Nathan, that wasn't too bad.
It was okay. I survived.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. So, we've played a few songs now, and the grand tradition of Two Guys, One Radio Show, we're going to complain about Republicans. So.
That's a broad characterization. We like to complain in general, really.
Well, we complain about Republicans. It's kind of our thing. I mean, let's be real.
I still miss Jeb.
I do miss Jeb. Jeb! Yeah. So, what did you think of the third debate?
So it was great for, well, so it was great overall in terms of like actually talking about issues for the most part, because Chris Wallace did a bang up job as a moderator.
I was really surprised that Chris Wallace did well. He was the Fox News guy and he was probably the best of the three.
Things went pretty well, for the first like 20 minutes and then things just went straight downhill.
Yeah. Just like the first and second.
There was a great video by Vox talking about Hillary Clinton's debate strategy. Essentially, it's to goad Trump into getting off track and getting under his skin because he can't handle. She knows what buttons to push, essentially, and she's very masterful about pushing those buttons. And the video was like, you know, most times it's like a candidate's strategy in a debate to like stand out or deliver a certain line or blah, blah, blah. You know, her strategy was to leave an impression of the other candidate that's very negative. And she did a good job of that.
Yeah, she did.
Kind of like in 2012, the Obama campaign painted Romney as like rich and out of touch from the get-go, and he was like trying to catch up to that. Here, it's interesting because Trump kind of painted himself a certain way, right? He's this like loud, you know, misogynist who's not prepared for the presidency, and she kept letting him walk right into it. Yeah. So, I mean, she shows the benefits of, you know, preparing for debates.
Yeah.
She won all three of them by a pretty good margin.
Yeah. Also, the Al Smith dinner. Did you watch the Al Smith dinner?
I didn't watch the clips, but I did see kind of the summary of them.
Oof.
The first time someone's ever booed at the Al Smith dinner.
It was pretty bad. It really was.
Yeah.
I mean, in classic Trump style, he came out, you know, the first, you know, third, he was really great. He told some really funny jokes. Like, he was in that third. That first third of his speech, he was funnier than Hillary Clinton was for the entirety of her speech. But then, man, did he write it off the rails.
Yeah. Well, you know the story of the Arkansas connection to Al Smith, right?
Not at all.
Al Smith was the first Catholic to run for president in 1920. He ran against Harding, so I think. So it would be 24?
Yeah, that sounds right. It would have been right before the Depression if it was Harding.
Yeah, so he ran for president, and his 1928. Oh, that's pretty late. He ran for president, and his vice presidential pick was Senator Joe T. Robinson of Arkansas.
Hmm. Cool.
And it was kind of cool because you had him go throughout the South, you know, defending Al Smith because, you know, people were skeptical of a Catholic president in the 1960s. They were really skeptical of a Catholic president in the 1920s.
Yeah,
especially in the South. So, you know, to shore up support among Democrats, you know, Robinson did a pretty good job of that. Didn't win, but still kind of cool, Arkansas connection.
It wasn't even close, if I remember.
Yeah.
He won, like, Massachusetts.
58 to 40%.
Yeah.
I think is how it broke down.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. But, oh well. Fun times were had by all.
Yeah.
And now you have this great dinner. And you see Cardinal Dolan with his head in his hands and people are booing Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't help but feel bad for the guy. There was a big call for him not to invite Trump this year. I mean, yeah. There was a lot of pressure put on him.
To be, because it'd be like anti, I guess, against the Catholic.
I don't know, just because he's a jerk, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's done stuff that's not fitting with Catholicity.
Yeah, and I really like the quote that he gave, that if he only sat down with saints, he'd always eat alone. I thought that was a good quote.
Yeah.
It was a very bishop-y kind of quote.
Mm. But Hillary Clinton did a good job closing, because she connected, you know, the Catholic tradition of, you know, social work and, like, you know, activism with her own, like, Methodist tradition of being active in the community, right? You know, John Wesleyan's do all the good that you can for all that you can for as long as you can, right? Like that creed that's, you know, guided her. And it's really interesting because her faith hasn't really been a big issue in this campaign, but she's like super, you know, connected to it. And it's just kind of interesting how that hasn't really been picked up as much, you know, because if she was Republican, it'd be more prominent, I guess. But
yeah, well, that is interesting in hindsight. I mean, I guess they made a big deal out of Obama's faith, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, I wasn't old enough really to remember in 04.
Mm-hmm.
But.
So. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. So. Do we have more music?
We do. There's always more music, Nathan.
Good.
I won't play any more White Snake for you.
Thank God.
I think Josie liked it. That's a very neutral reaction I just got. So, what do I want to play? So, there's a song that I just kind of recently discovered that I thought was really cool. So, I might as well just play it for you. It's by the band 10 Years After, and it's I'd Love to Change the World. Yeah, that was I'd Love to Change the World, not whatever I said earlier, by 10 Years After.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. That was kind of nice.
It's a solid 7 out of 10.
Yeah. You know, a band that I don't know too much about. Not a lot of people know too much about it, but they're a British band from the 70s.
Oh, that was 70s? That sounded like almost kind of 90s to me.
Yeah, it's a lead single from the 1971 album Space and Time.
Huh.
So only top 40 that. Hit.
I would not have guessed that.
Were they a one-hit wonder?
Well, I don't really a hit.
Hi.
But I guess. Well, I don't know.
Josie is learning that she has to stand really. She has to speak into the mic.
I've never
very close.
Into this
She's new before. To the radio universe.
Exactly.
It's a fun place. So I'm just gonna keep on going because I have like 30 songs on this list.
Oh dear. Am I ever gonna get to play one?
If you want to?
I kind of would like to. All right, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hogging the mic over here.
We haven't heard any Led Zeppelin yet, and. Yeah, this is Two Guys, One Radio Show. I feel like we have to play some
You didn't give me enough time.
Oh. Did I say Led Zeppelin, but I meant the Rolling Stones. My bad.
Oh, okay.
I meant the Stones. Led Zeppelin.
Somebody from Great Britain.
The Stones. It's a song you all know and love. It's Gimme Shelter. That was Led Zeppelin, No Wait, The Rolling Stones with Gimme Shelter.
They're basically the same. They're both British, right? That's
awesome. That is also kind of the least Rolling Stones song that the Rolling Stones have.
It's pretty different, yeah. But classic.
But also, I mean, I like the Rolling Stones, and I don't know that's the Rolling Stones. Shame on me.
we've talked about this before, like the story behind that song. I'm going to tell it again, because Josie's here.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So they were in the studio working on this song, and Mick Jagger was like, you know, it needs something. It needs like another singer. And so they call up, what's her name? Look it up. They call her up, the woman singer, at her house at like 2 in the morning. They're like, yeah, can you come to the studio real quick? So she comes in like hair curlers and like, because she was asleep. And I think it's like the first take, like she just knocks it out. And they're like, okay, great. And she just goes back to bed. And now it's like, you know, one of the iconic vocal performances. It's pretty cool. I'd wake up in the middle of the night to be on a Rolling Stones song.
Yeah, wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
So, a similar
story. Mary Clayton, that's who it was, Mary Clayton.
Cool. A similar story.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the weirdest songs ever is The Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd. It's basically just a woman like shouting into the microphone,
yep.
But it's really cool, and you're going to find out that it's really cool when you listen to it here in a minute. Similar story. They were doing auditions for who was going to be on the track, right? And the first woman comes in, and she's like, she's got some backstory. I'll have to look it up while the song is playing. But she comes in, and she nails it on the first take, and then she apologizes because she thought it was terrible. So you're going to hear the first take that this woman did of The Great Gig in the Sky and then apologized for. Here you go.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was The Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd.
She did. She killed it. You're right.
She kills
100%.
It. 100%. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. So they told her to improvise a vocal and to imagine her voice as an instrument.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so she got called in to do this. She's just like a backup singer that works for the recording agency.
Yeah.
And she gets called in to do this, and she almost doesn't go because she has tickets to see Chuck Berry that night.
Yeah.
And she is like, you know what? Screw it. I'll come in because I don't want to lose my job.
Mm.
But she doesn't get to see Chuck Berry.
Right.
And eventually she doesn't think that she has done well enough. And so she apologizes and leaves.
Yeah.
Right. And then she goes out and she buys the album when it comes out. It was on Dark Side. And she reads the credits on Dark Side before she listens to it. And she realizes that that's her name.
Yeah.
And that's how she finds out that she made the track.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I love that story.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that story.
Well, hopefully she's happier with it now that it's turned out so well.
Yeah. Her name is Claire Torrey.
Huh.
So there you go.
Cool.
Okay. So, more music.
Yes. Do you want to play something?
I don't know. I don't know what else to play.
Oh, I have...
You have a plan.
I do.
You came with a plan. I came with a cool story about Claire Torrey.
That's a cool story. Cool story, bro. Yeah, so you could consider this classic rock.
Oh, dear.
It's classic now. So it's from Slash's first solo album, Slash's Snake Pit. And I've always really liked this song, so it's Beggars and Hangers-On.
Okay, before we get into that, I gotta let y'all know, I have to go to work in 5 minutes, so you're probably not gonna hear from me again.
Oh no.
It's been real. It's gonna be one guy, one radio show. Barrett's gonna take over, keep Jesse's it going. Here. One guy, one girl, one radio show. Let's do it.
Mixing it up.
You kids have fun without me. Here's the song.
Enjoy.
Twitching in my head. God.
hey, yeah, I'm figuring out these controls because I'm Nathan now. But I've already replaced Nathan, so it's great. Yeah, that was Beggars and Hanger-On by Slash's Snake Pit. He actually co-wrote that song with Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses. And then The Black Crowes, Only Halfway to Everywhere from Three Snakes and One Charm, 1998, I think is that album. But we were talking about Bob Dylan winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
We were.
I have a lot of feelings about that that are not positive. I just think it's kind of weird because, I mean, he's a very talented songwriter, but like I associate that with like literature and like poetry and like, I don't know, like if it's just strange to see that expanded to songwriting because like, I don't know, does that mean like it's an expanded field of competition from now on, like songwriters and like authors, or is this just like a one-time thing or... Oh, well, wait.
What's up?
Your mic's not on.
Oh, hi. Okay. I was saying... Wait, is my mic on?
It's on now.
Okay. I was saying if you were to add up all the different songs that Bob Dylan's written, I doubt it's going to equate to, like, the amount of work that the other Nobel Prize winners have written over the years, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, he's written some songs and they're great songs.
This stuff's probably, more well-known than some of the other
people. Oh, definitely. And I think maybe that was part of it.
But should it be a popularity contest, though? It's the Nobel Peace Prize.
I mean, life is a popularity contest.
That was very profound.
Most awards are.
Barack Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize, which I still think was really random and premature.
I thought so, too.
Although, I mean, if you look at the Iran deal and the Cuban thing, maybe that makes sense, but I don't know.
I mean, what is the Nobel Peace Prize? Is it promoting peace or, like, cause he did make lots of peaceful conversation.
A lot of his music is, like, social justice-y, you know, conscious about issues in America. So I could buy it. Maybe, but it's still skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
But that I'd play. Well, it's not my favorite Bob Dylan song because I don't associate. My favorite Bob Dylan song is technically All Along the Watchtower, but I no longer associate that with Bob Dylan because Jimi Hendrix did it better. But did it his own way. I mean, not did it better. But another great song by Bob Dylan that I've always really liked is Knocking on Heaven's Door. And since I just played a song by a former member of Guns N' Roses, I thought I'd play Guns N' Roses version because it's pretty solid. So it's Guns N' Roses doing Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah. on heaven's down wall. Hey, 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 yeah.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
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 Yeah, that was Guns N' Roses doing Knockin' on Heaven's Door by the great Bob Dylan from the soundtrack of Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, which I've actually never seen, but I heard it's a great movie. It has a Bob Dylan soundtrack, so it has to be fairly good.
All right.
Yeah, we have like 2 minutes left, so I think we can squeeze in one more song. Be rebels about it.
Totally.
What do you say, Josie?
I think at least let's do it.
Awesome. So, in honor of one cover, I'm going to do another cover. This is Eric Clapton's version of I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
I shot the sheriff,
but I did not shoot the deputy.
I shot the sheriff,
but I did. Trying to track me down. They say they want to bring me in guilty for the killing of a deputy, for the life of a deputy. But I say
I shot the sheriff,
but I swear it was in self-defense.
I shot the sheriff,
and they say it is a capital offense. Sheriff John Brown always hated me for what I don't know. And every time that I and kill it before it grows. He said, kill it before it grows. I say,
I shot the sheriff,
but I swear it was in self-defense.
I shot the sheriff.
But I swear it was in self-defense. Freedom came my way one day, and I started out of town. Yeah. All of a sudden I see Sheriff John Brown aiming to shoot me down. So I shot him. Shot it down.
deputy.
I shot the sheriff,
but I didn't shoot the deputy. Reflexes got the better of me, and what is to be must be. Every day the bucket goes to the well, but one day the bottom will drop out. Yes, one day the bottom will drop out. But I didn't shoot the deputy. Oh no,
I shot the sheriff,
but I did not shoot no deputy.
Once again, thank you so much for listening, Conway. This has been Two Guys in a Radio Show on KHDX 93.1 FM. Have a good one.